Welcome to the LarryandFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Lanna. There are two candidates for Hamilton Southeastern School Board in Wayne Township. One of those candidates is Sharon Wright. I talked to Sharon Wright during the afternoon of October 14th. We're at the Fishers Public Library, at the library, which is part of the Hamilton East Library System. There's a program called My Next Book. You ever wonder what you want to read next? Well, the library would love to recommend a book for you. All you have to do is fill out the online questionnaire with all of your reading preferences, and the librarians are going to send you a list of books and authors they think you should try. If you'd like a customized book list for yourself, you can go right online and do it, but be prepared because it's a long, long web address, hepl.lib.in.us/my-next-book. And in between all those words is a hyphen, so it's my-next-book. Or if that's too much for you, just call them. Area code 317-579-0307. And remember, we need to put in the area code now, at least for a while. My guest is Sharon Wright. Sharon Wright is a candidate for Wayne Township in the Hamilton Southeastern School Board election, part of our series of featuring school board candidates. So Sharon, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. It's Sharon, Larry.
Did I say Sharon?
You did. It's just ingrained.
And I tried to practice it beforehand. So and your name is spelled Charron. That's the way it'll show up on the ballot.
Yes.
And Sharon is how it's pronounced.
Yes.
And I am corrected. But thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Good. What I'd like to do to start off is just talk about yourself, personal information you think we need to know, and your professional background.
Sure. Let's see. I grew up in Indianapolis, so I graduated from Lawrence North High School. After I got married, my husband and I bought a house about a year after we got married in Fishers, so we lived about 106th and Hague. We were there until we moved up to Wayne Township. That would have been in 2007. So we have three children. Connor is an eighth grader at Fall Creek Junior High. Logan's a sixth grader at Fall Creek Intermediate. And Morgan is a third grader at Durbin Elementary. As I like to say, in my former life, I worked at Roche Diagnostics. So I was there from, 97 until 2003. So I worked in their diabetes care division. I was in the call center, and then I was in the marketing for hospital products. Once Connor was born, I decided to stay home with him. So I have been a mother and a classroom volunteer. I've run PTOs for the last several years, and that's kind of what brought me to this point.
Yes, my mother, I'm the oldest of six, so my mother always had a degree in parenting.
Yes, absolutely.
And she did volunteer and worked after we were all out of the house, but it took a while. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of respect for people who stay home with their children if that's the choice they want to make. And, you know, mothers make that choice.
Yes.
Wayne Township is a little bit different. It's a little bit more rural, although the growth is coming out that way. It's a lot of it is not in the city of Fishers. Some is not. So how is that different than maybe the rest of the school district? What are your special concerns? Even though the entire district will be voting for you, the Wayne Township area, you are still sort of representing that as the candidate from Wayne Township. So what special situations do you think you need to be aware of in the Wayne Township area?
Oh, well, Wayne Township is unique. Mm-hmm. I believe that we all have Noblesville addresses. Actually, everyone at Durbin Elementary I know has a Noblesville address. My husband and I live in the country, so we're just a little bit north of State Road 32. So it's septic and well. So in those places, you have to have 10-acre plots. And, it's growing. There's been quite a bit of building going out there, even though they're 10-acre plots. There are two large neighborhoods that feed into Durbin Elementary. So it is unique. And, one piece is just Durbin is an old school. In fact, it's the original school in the Hamilton Southeastern District. So there's tons of history there. It's a close-knit community. I know that we host a run each year at our school, a fundraising run called the Durbin Classic. We've done it for about 10 years, I think. And We always advertise it as, you know, we are part of Hamilton Southeastern, but come enjoy a quiet country run on not busy roads. And we run out on the roads, and we have several school-aged kids that come and absolutely love it. So it's just a, it's a different environment than the rest of Fishers. It's not that populated. There is a neighborhood that's being built across from Klipsch on Bowdoin, and I don't know how many homes that's bringing, but that is slated to right now feed into Durbin Elementary. So at some point, something will have to be done with Durbin, whether it's adding on or sending those kids to another elementary. But it's just, it's a unique setting. I always say we kind of live in the middle. I do things in Noblesville just because it's closer. I do things in Fishers. The kids have played sports in both areas as far as rec sports are concerned. It's just unique. It's quiet, but it's got this tremendous Hamilton Southeastern school system attached to it that I really like.
Tell us, if you will, just to start off, and I'll get into details, more issues later, but in general, why are you running for school board?
Absolutely. Good question. I have said several times that I think I've sort of built my resume, if that's what you want to call it, over the years after having kids. Once Connor started kindergarten, you know, it's the first foray into school, so I volunteered in the classroom and continued to do that. I've done it with all the kids, been very active in their elementary school. Then I started volunteering for PTO events, and then I took over the PTO, and I've been the PTO president at Durbin for the past 5 years. I'm also the PTO vice president at Fall Creek Junior High, so through that involvement, I've met all kinds of people. I am amazed at how large our school system is and how many schools there are and how different you think the schools are, but they really run quite the same. It's quite amazing to me that we all do very similar events in the PTO, although we raise varying amounts of money depending on the number of students and where the schools are located. They're all very similar. I worked on the referendum last year, so I was part of the executive committee, and so I feel like through all of this, I've learned how classrooms operate, you know, how schools are now, because they're very different than when I was in school. I mean, I'm astonished by kindergarten in particular. I went half-day kindergarten, and I would swear we had rest time or nap time or something within that half-day, and now kindergarten is full day, and it is amazing what those kids are learning. So just learning how classrooms operate, what teachers need, what kids are expected to do, then learning the aspect of PTOs and how to fundraise and what you're funding in schools and, you know, how you can help out. And then being part of the referendum committee, understanding state funding and the needs of the larger school district. And I've worked with Dr. Borf and Dr. Smith before him for the last 5 years. They have a superintendent advisory council that I've attended, and so I feel like I've just put all the pieces together to get a really good understanding of the working of the entire school system, and now I'm ready to serve in a different way, and that's why I'm running for school board.
I love your comment about kindergarten. All I remember, and I'm, you know, 65, so I've been around a while, all I remember about kindergarten is painting and taking naps. And today, my kids, and they're just graduated from college recently, went through HSC schools K through 12. Mm-hmm. You know, they went to kindergarten, and even before they get there, teachers expect them to know their letters and their numbers, and they work with them educationally right off the, especially
absolutely,
with full-day kindergarten.
Absolutely.
So it's really changed a lot, and I've opened my eyes with my own children and obviously with yours who are younger. I'm going to get into something you've already mentioned. I was going to ask you whether you supported the tax referendum. You already answered that question. You were on the committee, so you obviously did support that. Talk a little more about why you decided to work so hard for the referendum and why you were for the most recent operating tax referendum that just passed earlier this year.
Absolutely. Well, part of it is just I have a real love and passion for our school system. I knew it was something that needed to be done. It was eye-opening to me to learn about more about school funding and how we are funded by the state. There being a foundation base that each student is basically, each school is paid per student. And then there's the complexity index on top of that. And I was amazed isn't the right word. I couldn't believe the disparity, I guess, between the higher funded school systems in this state versus the lower funded, where Hamilton Southeastern is, I believe, the fourth largest school district in the state and was the third lowest funded.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew we needed to work hard, and I just have a real love for the school system, and I think our teachers and our schools are amazing, and I knew the things that we needed because I knew as a PTO president, the things that the PTOs were being asked to cover were not things that we covered, you know, when I started PTO. So now we were covering things that really should fall under the district's umbrella, but the district was so thin, they had cut about everything except for teachers, trying to keep that with the money they had. So that's why I worked really hard for it. I am not a humongous fan of referendums. They didn't exist until probably 10, maybe 15 years ago. I really wish that the state could figure out the right way to fund schools so we didn't have to do referendums. I don't know that that's possible. But that's why I worked hard for that referendum, because it comes down to the kids. And I don't want class sizes to grow beyond where they are. I want to be able to hire the best teachers. I want teachers to have a terrific work environment and to love their job, because that shows through what they do and through teaching of the kids. And I want the students to have every opportunity that they can to be successful as they go out into the world.
I think our school system has a reputation. Right after the referendum passed, there was a job fair, and I talked to Dr. Beresford, one of the assistant superintendents. He said, well, maybe 150, that would be a really good turnout. There were 800 potential teachers at that job fair, so that says something right there.
Absolutely. Our building principal at Durbin Elementary, I had talked to her after the job fair, and I think she was there an hour past when it was supposed to close. It was 10 o'clock or so at night, and she was amazed by the turnout and very pleased, and it was a lot of work for her to go through all those resumes, but it was good work for her to have to do.
As an entire district, HSC has been grappling with growth. Student populations are growing. For now, we have almost 300 new students. I think it's a little under that now that we have the final count. But we had a new report just the other night. We are recording this on the 14th of October, and the demography report is basically showing that student populations are actually going to stabilize and maybe even go down in the years to come. So my question to you is how do you as a school board member think that the board needs to handle this new information they have that the years of big growth may be over for a while?
Right. Well, I was actually at that board meeting, so I listened to the demographer's report. It was very interesting and amazing how close they are in their predictions with over 21,000 students, that they only miss it by, you know, a couple here and there from year to year. I think Karen Harmer, who's the board president, said it best in that she's been on the board for, I believe, 20 years now, is that they have been very careful as a board to not overbuild, because the worst thing you can do is spend millions and millions of dollars on school buildings, and then, you know, in a few years down the road, maybe your student population is declining and you're having to close schools. That's a terrible situation to be in. So I think as a board member, you just really have to pay attention to that information and find a good balance, strike a balance between building new buildings to take care of immediate needs, but not overbuilding. So if things are changing 10, 15 years down the road, that you're not having to close schools.
I covered a school system in Columbus, Indiana many years ago, Bartholomew Consolidated, which was all but two townships of that county. And I had to cover them and the process of trying to close schools. We've never had that issue here, at least not in the near recent future. In fact, it's been the other side. So I can't emphasize how much that is a painful process to close school buildings. It's not just the physical building. It's the people and the memories and the staff.
Absolutely.
And all that. So it's more than just the building. When you close a building, you change a lot around. Sometimes it could be for the better, but it's painful to go through that process when it's happening.
Absolutely, I'm sure.
One of the most important jobs any school board member would have is to evaluate the superintendent. And I would just be curious about your views in general, not necessarily about the current superintendent. You can talk about him if you like. In general, how would you go about evaluating the superintendent as an individual school board member, whomever that might be?
Right. Good question. Well, obviously the superintendent is in charge of the entire school district. So he or she, in this case, he, has a huge responsibility. I think that you know, he needs to be held accountable. And I say he just because we have Dr. Alan Borf at this particular time. But he needs to also be held accountable, as teachers are, for student performance. So overall graduation rates, you know, I-STEP scores, since that seems to be the way that we're evaluating teachers and student performance these days. Also, we talked about growth and building and having places for all of these students. I mean, that's a huge undertaking, and he just went through a lot of that. You know, his first year under his belt was an extremely busy one, and I think he did a fabulous job in his listening tour. I love the name of the tour. I like the concept of the tour, just going out, and he was coming in as a new superintendent, truly trying to reach out to all the people in the district that he could, whether they were parents or community members that no longer have students in the school system, to say, what do you feel that our needs are? And then compiling a list to come up with a good, solid recommendation for a referendum number and exactly where those dollars are to be spent. So obviously he has a huge financial burden, I guess, to bear to make sure that, you know, we are doing everything we can for our students. So he needs to also be forward thinking. And I know that right now there's talk of, we have an agreement or with J. Everett Light, mm-hmm. For those students that aren't college ready, and there's been talk of the Hamilton County superintendents coming together and perhaps doing some sort of career center here in Hamilton County, which would be terrific. I know that there has been something, I don't know all the details of it, but there have been some healthcare initiatives that have already taken place to train students to go into healthcare jobs. Obviously, we've got two pretty big hospitals right there, relatively new on exit 210. That the school would have access to do internships. And so I think overall, I mean, performance, graduation rates, keeping up with growth, both from a funding standpoint and from a building standpoint, and just forward thinking and making sure our students are not doing status quo, but they're prepared for the future and doing above and beyond.
Yeah, the Vocational Center is interesting because we've used J. Everett Light for a long time, which is a fine facility. They do very good work there at North Central High School. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Borf did inform, I'm not sure if you had started coming to board meetings at that time, but Dr. Borf briefed the board on a meeting that was held with himself, Dr. Borf, other superintendents in Hamilton County, superintendent in Zionsville, and I believe Senator Luke Kenley was there as well. So mm-hmm. I think there's been an Ivy Tech and some other stakeholders were there. So there's an idea of coming together with many different entities. It would take a lot to get that done, but that is a lot of people are talking about that. And I think their discussions are in the early stages, but that could happen. And yes, I think that a lot of people feel that a vocational facility in Hamilton County would have some value for all those school systems.
Absolutely.
One thing the board has sort of kicked the can down the road for a variety of reasons is the non-discrimination policy. It came before the board. A couple of staff members got up and spoke and thought that it was not strong enough, so the board moved it back to the administration. There are a lot of legal issues going on. That was discussed at length at the candidates forum at HSC High School recently, where all the candidates were there, including yourself. The fact that laws are changing, administrative rules are coming down, they're being challenged in the courts, so there's some uncertainty there. But how LGBT students are going to be treated, especially the transgender students, that's kind of been the focus of some of the most recent litigation. Understand that's all going on, you know.
Right.
That's my question to you, is kind of putting that aside for a moment. As an individual school board member, what sort of language would you personally like to see in a school non-discrimination policy?
Well, I think the most important is that it needs to be inclusive, because we are a public school. Of course, we are welcoming of all students of all types, all sexual orientations, anything. So it needs to be very inclusive, and also protective is something that I personally feel. I just think we need to do things that are in the best interest of all students, to protect everyone, to make them comfortable and safe. And so, you know, it needs to be, I don't know that strong language is the right word, but it needs to be decisive in the language. But I'm not sure that, I think we kind of need to wait until all of this plays out, because I know there has been a directive from President Obama, and there have been some states, I believe Texas may be one, that is fighting it. It's in the courts now. So I think all of that has to play out first before there is something that, you know, whether it comes from the federal government or not. But we need to wait for that. And then we just need to have some strong, need to have a definite policy in place, but definitely inclusive. And I guess that's it. That's okay. The best word I can think of.
Very good. You are a parent with 3 children, all at different levels of the school system right now. So talk about your personal experiences with the HSE school system.
Absolutely. It's been wonderful. You know, like I said, Durbin Elementary, every time I mention Durbin, whether I'm at PTO forum meetings or superintendent advisory council meetings, everyone just, oh, Durbin's different, which it is. We love the small school. My kids have had fabulous, fabulous teachers from kindergarten on. The transition, I was worried about the transition going from Durbin to Fall Creek Intermediate because, oh, when my oldest was at Fall Creek Intermediate, this was before the redistricting, so there were 1,200 students there, so roughly 600 fifth graders and 600 sixth graders. Well, he had about 75 fourth graders in his class at Durbin between the 3 grades, and then he was going to 600, and I, as a parent, thought, oh, how is this going to go? It went fabulous. So I think the system that they use with their pods, and so they basically break it down to, say, 90 students, something around that number, and that's who they rotate with. So they rotate their 3 classes with that. That's who they have lunch with. Works great. Mr. Chef and now Mrs. Day, I don't believe she was there when my oldest was there, but she's there now. Fabulous administrators. They've had terrific teachers. And then we transitioned to the junior high with him, and I was kind of worried about that. Okay, now we're going to seven different teachers. Again, didn't miss a beat, and I wouldn't say he's the most outgoing child in the world. He's found his place. He's started team sports. I've been very impressed with the coaching staff. He's done cross country and track. I just think it's been fabulous. I've also been with all 3 kids through the rollout of the iPads and the HSE 21, whereas, you know, Connor, I think he started first having his for a year, and then, so he had it, I think, starting his 6th grade year of intermediate. Then my middle child came in, so started at his 5th grade year, and my daughter was a pilot class for her elementary school. So it's just been terrific experiences all around. The staff, the programs that have been offered at all 3 levels of schools, the transitions have been terrific, which I think speaks volumes to the staff that they're preparing these kids, that it's not been a shell shock even coming from little small Durbin to these big schools.
Changing subjects just a bit. Obviously, you've been observing school board activity from PTO president all the way up and your involvement with the referendum. In your view, from what you have seen, what is the current school board doing right and what's the current school board doing wrong?
Oh, good question. I think they're doing a lot of things right. You know, the whole HSE 21 concept, I think, is terrific. Huge undertaking to change the way teachers are teaching, essentially, to change thoughts of students. I think that's been great. The iPad rollout, for the most part, was terrific, and that's a huge undertaking. To roll out iPads over a 3-year period to what now is over 21,000 students at all grade levels. I think that was great. I do think that they're a forward-thinking board. The redistricting, that's always tough. I obviously have not been part of a school board during that, but I know that there were some very, we'll call them lively discussions. People had very strong feelings about where they wanted to be, where they didn't want to be. They wanted their neighborhood kept together, and there are so many neighborhoods in our school district and so many people. So that's a very tough thing, and I think for the most part, they did a very good job with that. I think the board, well, I know that the board and the Teachers Association and administration, all 3 have a very good working relationship. I would imagine that's probably not true in all school systems.
It's not true in all school systems.
So yes. I would say that is a humongous positive that they all work together because they all have the common goal in mind of doing what's right for the students. You know, what they could do better. I've heard several people talk about communication. Mm-hmm. I would probably agree with that just because it's difficult. It's difficult to communicate with. You've got over 21,000 students, so let's assume that's somewhere around 10,000 families. That's hard. I know it's hard even in just the small pockets of schools that my kids are at from a PTO perspective to get out information. So, you know, that's a huge issue unto itself is just, you know, what's the right way? Because now, of course, you've got social media and you have the board meetings and you have newsletters that come out from the administration. But, you know, the board members have emails. But I just think that's maybe something they could do a little bit better.
There's been a lot of talk about a teacher shortage. I talked to Dr. Mike Beresford a few months ago on a podcast. He made it very clear to me he's been on the ground floor and there is a real teacher shortage in the state of Indiana. As an individual board member, there's only so much you can do. But I'm just wondering how you feel about that. Do you think there is a teacher shortage? And if so, what can an individual school board member do to try to do something about that?
Good question. Well, I will trust Dr. Beresford that there is, in fact, a teacher shortage. I know he knows what he's talking about. There's a couple of things. One, I'm sure, is pay. It's not a job that, you know, has a huge salary attached to it. So I would say most teachers, if not all, go into teaching for the love of the job. I was happy that was a big part of the referendum because I know when we talked about surrounding schools just in central Indiana that Hamilton Southeastern was in the bottom third for both very experienced teachers and new teachers in salary. So I'm glad that was a huge part of the referendum to try to bump up some of the salaries because I think that's important. Obviously, you want your teachers to have job satisfaction. And even on a really small level, we always say at our PTOs, we have a line item for staff appreciation where when they're doing parent-teacher conferences or once a month, we try to bring in a treat, whether it's a sweet day or a lunch or something that we have parents basically do pitch-ins for them that we always say a happy staff makes for happy students. And I truly believe that. So I think that it's important that we pay them well, that we, you know, look at their benefit packages and make sure that those things are in place for them, which I know the school system is doing. Let's see. So what did you have another part to that question?
Answers it very well. Thank you. I have one last question. Mm-hmm. Just imagine for a moment you're at an event and I'm the average voter. I'm somewhere in the Hamilton Southeastern system, and I'm trying to figure out who to vote for in the Wayne Township election. I've looked at what's happening and the issues, and I sit down and I say, Mrs. Wright, I've looked at you. Tell me just a few words or just maybe 30 or 40 seconds why I should vote for you. What would your answer be?
Well, I think my key word is invested. And I mean, I'm invested because I have three kids, so I'm going through it right now. I have kids at all different levels. I have one that next year will be in high school, and that's going to be a whole new ball of wax because high school is not like it was when I was there either. Now there's so many more choices. The building is bigger. There's more students. There's so many more opportunities. So just having three kids in the system, you know, that right now are grades 3, 6, and 8, and knowing how every decision would affect a family because I'm there. I'm living what all these other people are living. I've got kids riding the buses, and I've got kids going to school at XYZ times and doing all these after-school extracurricular activities, and I know what their day's like, and I hear from them, and I see their homework. So it's just the big picture, just living it right now, I think is what might separate me from some people that are running, is just being there and being invested and just having I do not pretend to know everything. I certainly don't. But just, I think, having a good base foundation going into wanting to serve on the school board of just how things work within our school system from the classroom all the way up to state funding.
I actually have time for one more question. Sure. I thought that was going to be the last one, but usually I get a longer answer on there, but that's fine what you gave. I just want to ask a brief question about the mental health initiative because the mayor has issued the mental health initiative. Even though many people in Wayne Township do not live in the city of Fishers, it's still a big incentive, not incentive, but it's a big component of the school system. The school system was very involved in this. They've just hired I think you were at the board meeting where there was an announcement that that's been a coordinator hired and vendors are being interviewed and they're taking proposals. So the idea is to have more mental health professionals in the schools. How high a priority is that for you?
I think it's a huge priority. You hear stories, you know, more frequently than you would like to hear about students that are struggling, whether it's with depression or, you know, heaven forbid, suicide. You know, you don't want any of the students to suffer. So I think that it's fantastic that money was set aside in the referendum for mental health, that they've hired the mental health coordinators. As I said in the candidate forum, I think it's fantastic down at the elementary level that they put assistant principals at all the buildings. I initially did not think that Durbin was going to get an assistant principal just based on student population. But I'll tell you that even though we might have half the number of students, it doesn't mean that our counselor had half the work of the others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of her main things was administering ISTEP. And that was just a huge chunk of time. So now that you've taken all of that off the counselor's plates and it's gone to the assistant principal role, now your counselor can act as a counselor. And hopefully even starting at these younger ages, when you've got your kids K through 4 that can have some quality time and interaction with their counselor, that perhaps things can improve before they get worse.
Yeah, but I mentioned my twin daughters went K through 12, and I can tell you the value of counselors, amazing. It's very, very, very important. I'm going to pronounce it correctly this time. It's Charron, right?
Absolutely,
and
yes.
And that is spelled Charron, last name spelled Wright. She is a candidate in Wayne Township for Hamilton Southeastern Schools. Mrs. Wright, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Thank you for hosting us.
But my pleasure talking to you. My thanks to Charron Wright for taking the time to talk with me about her candidacy for Hamilton Southeastern School Board from Wayne Township. This is the Larry and Fishers podcast. My name is Larry Lannon. I write the LarryandFishers.com news blog from Fishers, Indiana, a suburban city northeast of Indianapolis. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again.